الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء. وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لساخت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: وإذ أخذنا ميثاق بني إسرائيل لا تعبدون إلا الله وبالوالدين إحسانا. صلوات. And then we took the covenant from the children of Israel to worship none but Allah and to have beautiful and nice behavior towards the parents. Nice behavior towards the parents is considered to be the second most important duty after the matter of Tawheed. And like I have already told you in the previous speeches, where Allama Tabatabai Rahmatullah Alayhi has stated, if there was any other issue more important than the matter of respect and doing good behavior to the parents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have certainly mentioned that soon after the mention of his Tawheed in this and several other verses of the Holy Quran. And since the last two speeches, I tried to cover some aspects, at least the most important ones, about the concept of uquq, becoming aq of your parents, and how a person possibly may become aq and disassociated from his parents. And we find that one of those certainly accepted du'as in the favor of the children is that du'a which is done by his father towards him. Du'a al-walid li-waladihi. When the father prays in the favor of his son. And I already told you the du'a of the mother and its impact. This is one of those du'as which are certainly accepted in the favor of the son. Like we have hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Where he says that there are few du'as. أَرْبَعٌ لَا تُرَدُّ لَهُمْ دَعْوَى. Four categories of people whose du'a is never rejected. أَرْبَعٌ لَا تُرَدُّ لَهُمْ دَعْوَى. And the first, what Amir al-Mu'mineen mentions, is الْإِمَامُ الْعَادِلْ لِرَعِيَّتِهِ. A just ruler who exercises justice in favor of his nation. His dua can never be rejected. And Imam Ali says, where du'a'ul walid li walidihi wa du'a'ul walad li walidihi. The father, when he prays for his son, and when the son prays for his father. And the fourth one is da'watul mazloom. Dua of a mazloom person is never rejected. يَقُولُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلُ لَأَنْتَصِرَنَّ لَكَ وَلَوْ بَعْدَ حِينَ. I would certainly honor you, help you, accept your dua, although it may take a while, but it would certainly be accepted. And some of the other hadiths, even talking about the dua of Mazloom, have said, لَأَنَّهُ يَطْلُبُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَقَّهُ وَاللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَىٰ أَكْرَمْ مِنْ أَنْ يَنَّعْ ذَا حَقٍ حَقَّهُ. Why the dua of a Muslim is not rejected is because of the fact that he is demanding his right, his haqq from Allah. Nothing more than his right, since he is subjected to zulm. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more kareem and generous and dignified to stop providing the right of a person, the haqq of a person which is neglected. So it's the duty, if the children have to realize, if they want their duas, they should request their parents, their father, to pray in the favor of them. And since we have been discussing about the Bani Israel since several nights, and the verse of Holy Quran that I recited in the beginning also talks about them, it's not bad to mention the story. One of the very famous stories of the Holy Quran, and the Surah Al-Baqarah, the cow, chapter of the cow in Holy Quran, is in fact named after that story. So it's worth a while to pay attention. In the time of Prophet Musa ala Nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam, we find that there were two brothers and a sister, and the sister had a daughter, and the two brothers had two sons. As they grew up, both of the brothers came to the sister and proposed for her daughter to be married to their sons. This brother came and demanded that you better marry your daughter to my son, and likewise the other brother also demanded the same, to marry your daughter to my son. And the daughter consulted her father. She had a lot of respect to her father, and father advised her to marry your daughter to the one who is more pious. I remember somebody wrote a letter to Imam Hussain alayhi salam and said, Li ibnatun, I have a daughter and I want to marry my daughter with somebody. So what's your advice? I want to seek your advice. And Imam said, Zawwij ibnataka aw bintaka man yattaqi Allah azza wa jal. Marry your daughter to somebody who has taqwa. And what's the wisdom behind it? فَإِنْ أَحَبَّهَا أَكْرَمَهَا وَإِنْ لَمْ يُحِبَّهَا لَمْ يَظْلِمْهَا. Because of the fact that if he tomorrow comes up to be a loving husband towards your daughter, he would honor your daughter. But unfortunately, if he couldn't have a loving relation with your daughter, at least he would not do zulm towards your daughter. The person who has taqwa can always be, you can talk with him and discuss things and influence him and inspire him. But those who don't have taqwa, they are out of our bounds, because they try to run away from the bounds of Allah. So the father advised the daughter to marry your daughter to the son who is more pious, and the son of one of his two brothers was more pious and poorer than the other son who was richer. So she married her daughter to that son. But on the third day of marriage, the riwayat says that on the third day of marriage, the other cousin who was deprived of this marriage, he came and killed this bridegroom. And there was a big, big mess happened in the Bani Israel about this story. And they came to Prophet Musa to solve the problem. And if you can inform us, if you can let us know who is the real murderer of this bridegroom who is just recently killed on the third day of his marriage. The other cousin killed him out of enmity and envy. So if you get up to Prophet Musa, if you let us know who is the real murderer, we will certainly bring our faith in you. On the other side, along with this story, we find that there was another, which is also very important to understand, that there was a son who was a big businessman, and again in the children of Israel, and he had neglected his father since long years. As he became rich, and he neglected his duties towards his parents, and well, that's actually just normal for the money, which usually makes a person to forget Allah, unless otherwise we perform tazkiyatun nafs. So we find that this person realized his duty towards his father. What he did is that he brought his father and made him the president or the chairman of his business. Another son who is a big businessman, he recalled his duty towards his father, brings his father, who was a poor man, and makes him as the head of his business. And he started respecting his father to that extent that once there were a bunch of people who came to purchase certain things from his shop, and he said, well, as a matter of fact, I cannot sell out those things to you. He said, why? Don't you have those commodities available? He said, sure, I have. But the problem is that I don't have the key to the warehouse. He said, where is the key? The key is in the pocket of my father. So get it from your father. He said, no, I'm sorry, because my father is sleeping and the key of the warehouse is in his pocket. I don't want to wake him up from the sleep. And that is why he refused those people, that I cannot sell you those things right now. You have to come back later. It sounds weird to lots of people, but this is the peak of respect that he gave to his father. And now you would realize how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded that fellow. How much for the respect he provided. So what happened? That when the father woke up from his sleep and he asked the son, well, what happened? Did you didn't make any money today? You didn't sell nothing today? And he told the story after a lot of insisting of the father that actually what happened is that you were sleeping and you had the key in your pocket. I didn't want to wake you up. So I couldn't sell no nothing to my clients. The father got really upset, and riwayat tell us that he waited for the time of Sahar to pray for his son. Because it's really, like I was mentioning yesterday in last night's speech, that Islam has particular rules about praying to Allah, when and how and when, and what should be the, you know, the etiquettes of praying, and everything is told in the riwayat. And one of those things is that one of the best times to pray to Allah is the time of Sahar, when the door of heavens are opened, the door of mercy are opened. So he waited till the time of Sahar. Remember when the brothers of Prophet Yusuf came to Prophet Yaqub after all that long story, and they repented and came back and seek apology from their father for all what they did towards their brother Yusuf, and they are seeking apology from the father. Prophet Yaqub said, "Sawfa astaghfiru lakum. I will seek to do istighfar for you." And we have hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam talking about that. Talking about that same incident, that Prophet Yaqub, when he says, "Sawfa astaghfiru lakum," in fact, he was talking about the time of Sahar. "That I will pray for you, do istighfar for you in the time of Sahar." So that is one of the best times to pray. And that father also waited for the time of Sahar. When the time of Sahar arrived, he prayed to Allah. All he had with him was a baby cow. That was all what he had. And he prayed to Allah that, "Oh my Lord, bless my son with your grace and bounties, and make this baby cow full of blessings for him." That was the dua of this father. And after a few days he passed away. Now we find that the story that I told you earlier, the son, the bridegroom, was murdered by his cousin, and the children of Israel didn't know about who's the murderer, and they came to Prophet Musa that, "Find us the murderer and we will bring faith in you." Prophet Musa said that, "Inna Allah ya'murukum an tazbahu baqaratan." That is the solution to find the murderer of that incident. If you want to know who killed that bridegroom, Allah commands you to slaughter a cow. But like it was the constant tradition of the Yahud, and it is a constant attribute found in them even now, that looking for excuses to violate the law as much as they can. Number one rated killers of the Anbiya and Prophet in the history. 70 plus prophets killed by them. Killed 40 prophets in a day, and then again started the business in the same day. Then they try to teach us civilization. So we find that the children of Israel, when they learned that Prophet is saying that Allah commands you to slaughter a cow so that you can understand who is the murderer of that cow, just take a part of its flesh, take a part of the flesh of that cow, and touch it to the body of the murdered young man, the bridegroom, and he himself would rise once again and inform you who killed him. That is the solution. But what they did is that, well, when they heard this solution from Prophet Musa, they started making fun of him. They said, "Atattakhidhuna huzura? Are you making fun of us? Doesn't make sense to us that we kill a cow and take a part of its flesh and touch it to the body of the murdered person, and he would again become alive and start speaking, are you making fun of us? And Prophet said that A'udhu billah an akuna min al-jahileen. I seek the refuge of Allah to be one of those who are jahil. Whichever scholars of akhlaq say when they talk about istihza and making fun of somebody, which is haram morally in Islam, our scholars say making fun of a mu'min is one of the big sins in Islam. Never make fun of somebody. And this is a sign of jahil. That's why Prophet Musa says, A'udhu billah nakuna min al-jahileen. I am not among those jahils. So then they started bringing excuses and delaying their obedience to the command. What they did, قَالُوا ادْعُوا لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُبَيِّن لَنَا مَا هِيَ. Ask your Lord to tell us what sort of cow it should be. Now they bring excuses to violate and delay their obedience. And okay, never mess around with Allah. If somebody messes around with Allah, well, you cannot fool Allah, you can fool yourselves. Now that they ask from Allah, now Allah responded to them that it has to be a cow which should be la farazan wala bikr, awanam bayna dhalik, a cow which should not be old and it should not be young enough, in the middle of the two, awanam bayna dhalik. And they said, well, what should be the, now, okay, now ask your Lord what should be the color of that cow. Imam Sabir al Hadith said, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Where he says that if the children of Israel would have slaughtered any cow, they would have done their job. Because Allah had said, in Allah ya'murukum, and tazbahu bakaratan, any cow is sufficient. But those who want to violate will always seek excuses. And then Prophet said that, well, if you are asking about the color, Allah says that it has to be a yellow color, bakaratan safra faq'un lawnaha tasurrun nazirin. It has to be a yellow color cow. Now that you're asking about the color, okay, you are so much worried about the color, it has to be a yellow. The color, yellow. فَاقْلَئِنْ لَوْنُهَا, plus a bright yellow that pleases all those who look at the cow. Pleases the watchers. How can they find a yellow cow in the whole country? Such a bright, appealing, eye-catching yellow color that pleases all those who look at it. And they ran all over the city. And plus there was one more condition. Again they came and asked that, ask your Lord to explain further, and Allah explained it, that it has to be a cow which should never be used for plowing in the plantations, nor it should have been used for providing water to the plantations. Such a cow. And they searched the whole country and they couldn't find a cow except the same cow of the son whom that father prayed for him, and he prayed to Allah that make this cow a matter of barakat for my son. That is the only cow available. And they came to the person and he said, well, I'm not going to send it, sell it to you. This is what my father left for me. Not at all. And they started increasing the price. We will pay the price, double price, and they tripled the price and so on. Till the riwayat from Imam Riza alayhi salam says, when somebody is not ready, well, suddenly he increases the prices. So Imam Riza alayhi salam says, what was settled between them, that son and the children of Israel, is that they would slaughter the cow and fill the skin of that cow filled with pure gold and pay the whole gold to the son. That was the price settled with the son because he was not willing to sell the cow. And well, they again got back to find any similar cow once again in this search, and they came back disappointed, so they had no other option. Now they made up their mind to buy the same cow. So what they did is that they purchased the cow, but didn't pay him back all that gold. See, this is the nature of Yahud. And these are lessons in the history. Some people around us in different communities try to be more courteous than Imam Khomeini. Yeah, well, this was not supposed to be said like this, and this was actually a wrong decision. And well, don't try to put your words in the mouth of the deputy of Imam Mahdi. Who knows the enemies of Islam better than you? Some people try to be more courteous. So they got the cow, they slaughtered the cow, but they didn't pay the money back to that fellow. And what happened? See, you can never, I told you, you can never fool Allah. What they did, they took a piece of flesh of the same cow when they did not pay him back the money, the pure gold. What happened? They took a piece of flesh of the cow, touched to the body of the dead man, and he didn't wake up. He didn't become alive. You cannot mess around with Allah. So now they have to come back to the same person, and now they have to pay him the same amount again. So we can only harm ourselves. We cannot harm Allah. We cannot harm Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And we find that the entire, and certainly in the Riwayat we have that the entire nation became poor to purchase that one single cow. And that is what is the story that Prophet, that what they did when they paid him back, and they took a piece of flesh of that cow and touched to the dead body, and that body became alive, and he told that my killer is my cousin. And that's how that mystery was solved. And that is the reason why our chapter of Surah Al-Baqarah is actually named after that cow. And now Prophet Musa went to the tool and he inquired from Allah that why did you did like that? You know, arranging all these arrangements. What was the reason behind it? And that was the place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him that I wanted to honor and regard the dua of that father in the favor of that son. If you have any du'as, ask your parents, ask your father and mother to pray for you. That's the key to acceptance. And we have even said in the riwayat that say, those people whose parents have passed away, go to the graves of your father and mother. Say salawat and pray for the maghfirat of your father. Read Surah Yasin on your father and pray for him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept your dua because of the ihtiram and respect to your father. So if you want your prayers to be accepted, go and visit the grave of your father. I already told you it's mustahab, it's a sawab in Islam to visit the graveyards of the mu'mineen. It's a big sawab in Islam. And we have the riwayat from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Where he says that مَا شِعَتُنَا إِلَّا مَنْ اتَّقَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ وَأَطَاعَهُ our Shias are those who have the taqwa of Allah and who obey Allah. And taqwa in the hadith of Amir al-Mu'mineen is defined as أَنْ لَا يَرَاكَ حَيْثُ نَهَاكَ وَلَا يَفْقُدَكَ حَيْثُ أَمَرَكَ. That Allah should not miss you in all those places where you are supposed to be, where He obliged you to be. And Allah should find you in all those places. Allah should not find you in all those places where He prohibits. In other words, do not perform any of His sins and leave any of His wajibs. So Imam says that mashi'atuna illa man ittaqallah wa ata'ahu. Our Shias are those who have taqwa of Allah, and plus they obey Allah. Wa ma kana yu'rafun illa bittawadhu' wa at-takhashshu' wa ada' al-amana wa kasrat dhikrillah wa as-sawm wa as-salat wal birr bil walidain. Here we come to the point. And our Shias are not known except by the fear of Allah. They have the khushu' towards Allah. And likewise, they have tawadhu' towards Allah. They don't have any form of takabbur and arrogance in them. And they give away the trust, the entrusted things, the amanat that are entrusted in them. Plus, they perform lots of dhikr of Allah and the fasting and prayers. But when we talk about the zikr of Allah, some people think that zikr means just saying subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, or this sort of stuff verbally. Well, this is in fact the least level of zikr which is defined by our scholars. Like I recall in one of the books, Ayatullah al-Uzma, Sayyidina Shaykh Bahjat, hafizahullah, one of our great scholars in Urafa, was saying in his book that the best form of dhikr and remembrance of Allah is the dhikr amali. That a person practically, by his entire existence, remembers Allah all the time. Every part of your body is remembering Allah, from your head to toe, all the times of your life. That is the real zikr. That is zikr amali. So he says, Imam says that kasrat zikr Allah was salati and wal birr bil walidain, and doing nice and good behavior towards your parents. And their dua is never rejected. And that is why you find in the matter of Karbala, when Imam Hussein al-Islam's caravan was moving towards Karbala, towards Iraq, we find that on his way, he asked his son, Hazrat Ali Akbar, he said that I saw in my dream that somebody, Imam Hussein said, that I saw in my dream that somebody told me that this caravan is moving and death is following this caravan. So he asked his son, what is your opinion about death? And Hazrat Ali Akbar al-Islam said that, are we not on haq? And Imam said, certainly we are on haq. He replied, idhan la nubali bil maut. In that case, we don't get scared about death. We don't care about death at all. Not at all. And that was the place where some of the books have narrated that Imam Hussein alayhi salam prayed in the fear of his son Ali Akbar. The prayers that comes from the heart of our father. It's a really big test of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, the Shahadat of Hazrat Al-Yattar. In the history we found that somebody invited the Holy Prophet in order to do, and yeah, there was a gathering and he was doing the mehr of the camel. You know, we don't slaughter the camel, slaughter, we do it mehr, a special Islamic way of killing the camel. So when they did the mehr of the camel in the presence of the Prophet, and after that they cut its flesh and everything, then the heart, when the kidney was taken out, they found there was a hole in the kidney. And it was a surprising thing, they brought it before the Prophet. And Prophet asked the person who was the owner of the camel to be brought here. And he asked from that person that, okay, tell me, did you kill the son of this, the baby of this camel in his presence? Why is that hole in the kidney of that camel? You know, in Islam it is makruh to kill an animal in front of another animal. There are so many adab about slaughtering. How come is that hole in the kidney, in the jigger of that camel? Because it must have faced such a big sorrow of facing the death of his baby. It was really a big test of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And that's why we find that as he was sending Hazrat Al-Yakbar in Karbala towards the Maqtal, he cursed Umar ibn Sa'd by saying that قَطَعَ اللَّهُ رَحِمَكَ كَمَا قَطَعْتَ رَحِمِي. May Allah cut your nasr the way you cut my nasr. Allahumma ashhad ala ha'ula'i al-qawm faqad barada ilayhim ghulamun ashbahu al-nas bin rasulika khalqan wa khulqan wa mantiqan bi nabiyyika. Now right now, oh my Lord, be a witness. Because I'm sending right now towards them a person who is the most resembling person to your Prophet. And in his behavior, in his akhlaq, in his speech, in every aspect of his personality, in other words. And whenever we used to feel like visiting and seeing the ziyarat of the Holy Prophet, we used to look towards Ali Akbar, because he was the most resembling person towards the Prophet. How much Imam felt sad about it. And, well, this is the point of the caravan that was coming towards Iraq, but nowadays, brothers and sisters, it's the time when the caravan of Ahlul Haram is now passing through the streets of Kufa. All the travel from Karbala to Kufa and Kufa to Iraq, with having the heads of the Shuhada over the spear, and all the Ahlul Haram tied up in the chains. And Imam Sajjad alayhi salam is moving in front of the caravan, and with a talk in his neck, and the beria and the hatkariya in his hands, and he's moving like that. And right now we find in the Maqatil that some of the scholars have narrated that once what happened, that the head of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, that spear over which the head was fixed, that spear got fixed in the ground and it did not move forward. And now Shimmel came to Imam Sajjad and said, well, I'm going to slash you with the slashes as long as the head of your father does not move. I will continue slashing you on your back. And now Imam Sajjad asked his father, Baba, what is the matter? Why are you not moving? And Imam said that my daughter Sakina, she's left out somewhere. She would have dropped somewhere from the caravan, from the back of the camel. And Imam Sajjad asked Hazrat Zainab to search Hazrat Sakina. And now Hazrat Zainab came out. She went towards the desert to search Sakina. Sakina, where are you? Zainab is shouting to find Sakina. And we find that on one side she saw a lady with hijab, and
he has the Hazrat Sakina in her lap, and she's converting Hazrat Sakina in her lap, and talking love and affection to this daughter. Hazrat Zainab was surprised, and she asked the lady that, who are you, and why are you expressing such a love towards us? Because Hazrat Zainab never find anybody throughout this travel who ever talked to Ahlul Haram with such a love. And now, Hazrat Zainab, now the lady turned the niqab from her face and said, Zainab, you did not recognize your mother. Well, I am father of Zahra. How can I forget the son children of my son Hussein?
ألا رحمة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أيام القلب ينقلبون أما الله وإلا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما يحول بيننا وبين معصيتك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به رضوانك ومن اليقين ما يهون علينا به مصيبات الدنيا اللهم امتعنا باسماعنا وابصارنا وقواتنا ما احييتنا واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا اكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا تسلط علينا من لا يرحمنا مالا پرچم اسلام کو سر بلند فرما پرچم کفر و نفاق کو سر نبو فرما انقلاب اسلامی کی حفاظت فرما تمام علماء ربانیین تمام مراجع کرام بالخصوص رہبر انقلاب کا سایہ ہمارے سروں پر برقرار رکھ تمام مجاہدین اسلام کی توفیقات میں اضافہ فرما تمام اسیران اسلام کو جلد فرد رہا فرما تمام مؤمنین کی جان و مال و آبرو کی حفاظت فرما مالا تمام مؤمنین جو پریشان حال ہیں ان کی پریشانیوں کو دور فرما جو بیمار ہیں بحق ابو الفضل عباس باب الحوائج شفاء کامل و عاجل عنایت فرما ہمیں اس وقت تک اس دنیا سے نہ اٹھا جب تک امام الزمانہ ہم سے راضی نہ ہو جائیں ان کے ظہور میں تعجیل فرما ہم سب کو ان کے انصار و اشیاء میں قرار دے ربنا تقبل منا انک انت السمیع العلیم بجاہ محمد و آلہ المیامین یا حسین